Verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body. What will you put on it? This is the ultimate question. Is life more than food? Is body more than clothing? That's what he answered. The ultimate questions. The key verse in Sermon on the Mount, verse 33. Seek first the King. Seek first His righteousness. All these things will be given to you as well. No, God will not shortchange us. God will take care of us. I'm a good testimony for you. This last 15 years, I just bought a few new pairs of jeans. Uniqlo. Okay. Brand new. Okay. God takes care. Who is her? Oh. God takes care of you. But get our priorities right. Turn me to John 6. John, this is a contrast of this. Because if you go to John chapter 6, I tell you, Jesus was brilliant. He was brilliant because he was feeding the 5,000. Then next day, many came and Jesus can see their heart. He saw and talk about, you know, people say I'm not nice. Wait till you hear the way Jesus preached. Oh man, you know, I think no one will show up. Yeah. Because Jesus is true. He always speaks the truth, even though with grace. Okay. So let's go to John 6, verse 20. That's where he preached the famous message. Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you will not have life. No. More than half left. What a way to preach, man. Talk about successful preaching. Definitely this will not be taught in any preaching class 101. No. Say, no, people will leave. No, but Jesus, a lot of time he preached, people left. But you must understand, Jesus will meet our needs, but he's not pull or pressure primarily to preach about need. He wants to give us something more. His glory. That's why after this, we're going to turn to John 17. The glory of the burning hearts of Jesus. He revealed his heart to us. This is his desire. John 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you must understand before that, Jesus has fed the 5,000. Okay. You seek me, not because you saw the sign, but because you ate of the loaf and were filled. So he refused to feed them anymore. Just for that moment, I mean, it's not unkind. Jesus is not unkind. Just he wanted to drive home the point. That's why he said, no, I will not. That's why he preached a very strong message. I'm the bread. Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part of it. Man, not everybody, to be fair to Jesus. Half left. Wow. Because Jesus understood something. He understood something. That we are created for the glory of God. That's why, like what Paul said, we have to return to the simple message that is in the simplicity in Christ Jesus. No, I mean, yes, you can do whatever, but the name of Jesus has power. I love what Bill Johnson said. He said this. Impossibility bow their knees in the name of Jesus. Why we need all these tricks and whatever is because we have no power. Because we talk very little about Jesus. Go and check all the great men of God, Corrie Ten Boom, and so on. They primarily talks about Jesus and there's power. It's because we simply don't trust. So we have to add something even in our life. Yeah, no, Jesus, you are good, but I don't think you are that good. That's the key thing that we got to get to know him again. Like what Paul said, we have to return to the simplicity in Christ. It basically means Jesus alone in the center. So I make a deal with the Lord. Every GBF Tuesday, one prayer I will pray is, may Jesus take preeminence in the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus will take preeminence in our heart, in our message, in everything. It's the same with us. That is the key thing. Turn me to John 17. John 17. Very familiar chapter. But sometimes we don't spend much time in it. You know? It's me too. Okay. John 17. John 17. Where give us very important, very powerful insight in the importance of beholding the glory of Jesus. But it's more than that. It reveals to us the very heart of the gospel, the ultimate desire of Jesus before he went to the cross. He was really intense about it. No, it's worth, you know, I want to tell every one of us, it's worth for us to take time to meditate on it. Because God pulled the curtain and let us hear the most intimate fellowship of the holy. God talks to God. God discusses with God the burning desire of his heart. That means God the Father talked to God the Son. And we have the front row seat. Is it home? I have front row seat. John 17 is always yours. But we have to pray for that to strike our hearts. So I want to challenge us, even write songs. You know, no, I don't need to put a movie. I mean, we don't have the budget at the moment. Yeah, but that, the glory of the burning hearts of Jesus. You know, we talk about we crying out for burning hearts for Jesus. Jesus has the burning heart, burning desire. In John chapter 17, where he revealed his ultimate desire. This is so important because if you get it, you know, I try very hard to come out at 3C. Just try my best, you know, not because of three-born servant. No, if you get it, it gives us confidence in who we are. It gives us clarity in the purpose of discipleship. It's in John 17. And it causes us to contend. You know why? Even Jesus taught us in Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, to pray in accordance to his will, isn't it? May your kingdom come, may your will be done. This is the will of Jesus. That's why I've been praying this over the last few weeks, if you remember. Because this is the heart of Jesus, the burning desire and his burning heart. He's crying out for that. He's telling God the Father, for this reason, I'm going to the cross. For this reason, I am dying. Or I'm going to die. I'm willing. Is it Hebrews 12, verse 2? Okay, John, calm down. You're not too well. Don't get too excited. Yeah. Hebrews 12, verse 2. For, what did he say? I kind of lost my thought. Huh? For the joy set before him endured the cross. Which joy? John 17, verse 24, 25, 26. That is the burning heart, burning desire of Jesus. What glory he let us have a glimpse and front row seat. If you're not taking it, I'm taking it. More than just, I just want to understand. I wanted to get into my heart. Wow. That's mean we are his friend, isn't it? If we are his friend, do we know what he wants? We call ourselves friends of the bridegroom. That is the front row seat. God invite us into the most intimate fellowship of the holy. Wow, you know, this is good. Please write a song. Recently, we have this audience with the holy. That's prayers. Most intimate fellowship of the holy, where we hear God talking to God. John 17. Turn me to John 17 again. And I'll do it very quick. Okay, because the key, I'm going to just give you some insight. Go and meditate, go and pray, go and find understanding. Let it be something that really overflow in your heart. Because he is my friend. I want to know his heart, what he desires. Oh, Jesus. It's John 15, isn't it? You know, if you understand, you're my friend. Wow. John 17, just give you some simple fact. Well, of course, we know high priestly prayer. High priestly prayer is well known, okay? It's the prayer of all prayers. John 17 is the prayer of all prayers. The ultimate apostolic prayer. The ultimate apostolic prayer. But it's more than just prayer. Because it reveals the desire, the burning desire, the burning hearts of Jesus. What glory! What glory? You know, there's something more about John 17 that sometimes we don't appreciate, because we all know that Jesus has had, I mean, this is true. If I say I have an exceptional prayer life, you better check it out. But when the Bible says Jesus had an exceptional prayer life, it's true. But nowhere do we receive specific detail about what he said, except this one. We know, because Luke chapter 11, verse 1, Jesus was praying. So the disciple came out and said, wow, I think saliva come out and said, wow, glory. Glory. I don't think he rolled on the floor and foam and whatever. You know, not our typical intercessory prayer meeting. Like, oh, I won't come near. You know, that's wow. You know, but I'm saying that they saw his prayer life. You say, Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? Okay, there's rarely, there aren't much places in the Bible where we are shown specific detail of what he prayed and why he prayed for certain issues. This is the prayer of all prayer. You know, we talk about the Lord's Prayer. We taught recently at our series on growing in prayer, which is Matthew 6 or Luke 11. That itself, no, that's huge. That's powerful. But the Lord's Prayer is primarily a model, okay, that teaches us what we ought to pray. This really reveals the heart of Jesus, his ultimate desire, why he pray, what he pray. I call it the glory of the burning hearts of Jesus. Such power, because God let us have a glimpse of the divine fellowship of the Holy. God talks to God. More than that, they are discussing the dearest things of Jesus' heart. Wow. You know, we are all familiar with Psalms 2, isn't it? Psalms 2, the Father makes it very clear. Son, you have to ask. Ask of me, and I will give you nations as inheritance. This is basically the outflow of Psalms 2. Jesus came, kind of like, Father, you say in Psalms 2, now I'm here, I'm asking. I'm asking. You know why I want to challenge us to take time? It's worth it to take time to meditate. Just these three verses, 24, 25, 26, because it's the deep things of God's heart. Deep things of God's heart. You know, we want to know, you know, often we say this, isn't it? We come to the house of prayer and pray. I mean, this really struck my heart. This, as I meditate on John 17, really struck my heart, because we often say, Jesus, tell me what you are thinking, what you are feeling. We are here for you. I will pray. 1 Corinthians 2, Paul said, no eyes have seen, no ears have heard, nor have entered into the hearts of men. The very deep things of God's heart. Only the Holy Spirit can escort us there. This is the deep things of God's heart. The deep things. His burning desire. His burning heart. He's telling the Father, for this reason, I'm going to the cross. For this reason, I'm willing to die. And it's very powerful, because every detail of this prayer will be answered before Jesus returns. Because Jesus will never ask for anything. He's so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He's so sensitive to the will of the Father. He knows the Father's heart. He will not ask anything that contradicts to the heart of God. He will not ask anything that's outside the will of the Father. What prayers that we can... You pray John 17, Hokkien will say, Bao Nya Wan. Sure Jun Wan. Because Jesus will not go outside the will of God. His burning heart. Okay. John 17, there are three parts. I give you some outline. Then I'm going to just cover verse 24 and verse 25 and verse 26. There are three parts to this John 17 high priestly prayer. I'm going to primarily focus on the last part. Okay. Three parts. Verse 1 to 5, chapter 17, verse 1 to 5. That's where Jesus connects with the desire of his Father, because he has fulfilled all the will of the Father. He's about to go to the cross. He said, Father, I have glorified you. Now will you glorify me? So that's verse 1 to 5. It's worth reading through, because it's such intimate conversations. God talks to God. Wow. That's the first part. There's a second part, verse 6 to 19. Verse 6 to 19. Now Jesus prayed for the 11 disciples. He prayed for only 11 because he knew one is going to drop out. Okay. Yeah, more than dropping out. Betray him. Okay. He prayed for the 11 disciples and affirmed their faith is authentic. Okay. He primarily prayed for three things. Okay. He's asking Father to do three things for this 11 disciples. Keep them from falling. Protect them from the evil one. And sanctify them by the very truth of God. Sanctify them by the very truth of God. You know, yeah. So that's the second part of his prayer. Third part, verse 20 or verse 26. Again, I'm going to cover only the second half. Because that reveal. You know, we all have mission statement, isn't it? Maybe some don't have. Verse 24, verse 25, verse 26 is the mission statement of Jesus. Is the mission statement of Jesus. It's like Jesus, this is what I desire. This is my mission. I'm here for that. Okay, so verse 20 to verse 26. Okay, that's where I'm going to focus for the last half an hour, where Jesus prayed for believers through ages. From John 17 until now, he's still praying for us. It's prayer that we can claim. Okay. Of course, it's more than just a prayer. It's much more than just a prayer. It's a prayer. But it's like unfolding the desire of his heart and the reason why he go to the cross and lay out his mission statement and answer the fundamental questions of what does God want? Or rather, what does Jesus want? How do we disciple? Believer. Let's go to verse 24 to 26. Verse 24 to 26. Okay. You must pray. I'll give you a lot of information, but key is that pray for revelation. And yeah, you know, find some time, lead songs on that, devo, you know, or do on that. Father, I desire. Then when I sit there, yes. No, then I can sing. What a privilege. A glimpse into the most intimate fellowship of the holy. And we up the reverb a little bit. Holy, holy, holy. No, thereby. Okay. Verse 24 to 26. No, I. You know why I love this and I pray that we can? I tell you, that is the best singing seminary. We are saying the heart of the Lord is like, holy, holy, yes. Tell me. Let me hear your heart. Tell me when you sing, John 7. They're singing the word. Singing is not just expounding. You're singing the heart of God. Imagine you sing John 17, verse 24. You know, Father, I desire. Then someone, you know, another singer say, yes, my son, ask, and I will give unto you. Father, I desire. Okay, never mind. Let's not go to that. Next week. Okay. That's what singing the word is all about. Yeah, that's what it is. That's just antiphonal. Antiphonal between the Father and the Son. We are just playing it out. La. Okay. Don't think that you are the Father and the Son. Then everything will be all right. Okay. Yeah, verse 24 to 26. Give us the clearest insight. No, I need to write this. I need to find even the more intense word. Clearest insight of the passionate longing of Jesus, his burning desire. His heart burns, he's intense about it. That's when you read verse 24, you know, I'm going to shout. No, I'm not going to raise my voice. I'm just going to raise my voice because Jesus cannot be, Father, can you give me? I want. 真的啦, I want. You know what Jesus say? Father, I desire. He knows his days are numbered. I desire, Father, for the joy set before me, I will endure the cross. I know it's like Paul is just a pale version of Jesus. You say, I consider all things rubbish. But for them, for this, I desire. I mean, look at me, if I'm there, I mean, imagine if I just stand beside Jesus, he's praying that. Me? You mean I good enough? You want me? For that, you're going to the cross? For me? I said, oh man, I think I will faint. So we got to get that encounter, that glory of his burning desire. me. You know, that's why sometimes I think about producing movie, and then funny one. Then Jesus praying, and I superimposed there, and I got struck. Me? Me? You're asking for me. How small can you feel that burning desire of that glorious one? His giving is, that's why Paul said, it's nothing. He give his all. I mean, come on. You can be the richest man on this earth. Who is the richest now? Warren Buffett or what's this guy's name? Bill Gates. Is it Bill Gates? What, 50 million? Billion? US? Come on, 50 billion US is nothing. Jesus has all the glory. He gave it all for me. Wow. Wow. That is the glory of the burning desire of Jesus. Wow, you know. Please come out with a song. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Verse 24. There are three, I call it threefold mission statement of Jesus. Verse 24. He said this. Father. No, try to calm down. Okay. If not, the sound system may not take it. Yeah. Father, I desire. Yeah, this is lame. No. Okay. Father, I desire that they also whom you give me may be with me where I am. Okay, I will explain a little bit more. The first mission statement of Jesus, intimacy with him, partnership with him. No, this is not more than just talking about eternal destiny. It's talking about now. We are always created to be intimate with the Lord. It's always about intimacy. Do you know that God is not looking for more worship? No. That's why when people say highest order in the kingdom of God is worship, no. Highest order in the kingdom of God is love and intimacy. God did not create human. You know, you say that, you know, there's this great, great story that people always used to say, you know, Lucifer used to be the worship leader. He played the bass. So now he fell. Chinese say 堕落. You know, he fell. So now no bassist. Harp and bow not very good because the two instruments that's the most important is drum and the bass. So no more bass. So God could create human being to play bass. No! No, God did not create human for more worship. He created human for more relationship. Wow. Have you think about it? We can't like butch in, no. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit, perfect. We went in, there's a problem begin. I mean, imagine now is how many billion people around the world. In the beginning, only two already messed up, Adam and Eve. Now, how many billion? Wow. This desire of Jesus. I desire that you also whom you, they also whom you give me may be with me. With me, intimacy. Verse 24, second half, which is the second mission statement of Jesus. It's all start with the word that, that. That they may behold my glory, which you have given me. We are made to behold the glory of Jesus. That's why John Piper says, when we are most satisfied, God is most glorified. And where we are most satisfied, that's where we are most crucified. No, this is not about resisting. Yes, there's a place, but no way. We are made to behold. We are designed for that. Verse 26, third one. I have declared to them your name and will declare it. I tell you, this is powerful. I'll explain to you. I mean, I read this. Man, this is awesome. It's the will of God that I can love Jesus like God loved Jesus. Wow. That makes me great. Wow. That's the desire of Jesus. Love. More than just passive love. More than just a little bit love. The measure and the intensity that the Father loved him. Wow. God is willing to give me that grace. Wow. You know, we talk about raising the dead. No, that's not the greatest. Love. I can love Jesus the same measure as the Father in heaven. Love Jesus. Wow, man. I'm the greatest lover in the entire universe. So are you. Wow. And I've declared to them your name and will declare it that the love with which you love me may be in them. May be in them. These are the whole picture of the gospel. Write down quickly. I realize I more lesser and lesser of time. Okay. All three, just write this down. All three longings of Jesus give us the whole picture of the gospel, his burning heart. You know why? It defines the type of relationship that Jesus desires. It defines the type of relationship Jesus desires. You know what's the type of relationship Jesus desires? Intimacy. Intimacy. That's the second thing. It set forth the goals of this relationship. What's the goals of this relationship? Love. Love. The goal is love. That's why the highest order in the kingdom of God is love. God loves us. We love God. Of course, you need to throw in the next one. We love one another. And then you got to throw in another one. We love our enemy. Ouch. Yeah, defines the type of relationship that Jesus looked for. Set forth the goal of this relationship. Love. Love. And the third one, it lays out the very method by which we grow into this relationship. How? Behold, the glory of God. We become what we behold. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Jesus is so brilliant. Everything is about him. You know, if he's turning it around, everything is about me, then there's self-centeredness. But he is glorious. He is worth it. The type, the goal, and the method. How do we grow into it? That's why we have to, you know, no other way. Let's go quickly, run through three quickly in 15 minutes. First, desire, intimacy, partnership is always about an equally yoked bride. Verse 24, Jesus said, Father, I desire that they also whom you give me may be with me where I am. His salvation is more than just saving us from hell's fire, but is to bring us close to Jesus. Because since creation, we are always created for intimacy. No, he's always created for intimacy. What's the purpose of mankind being created? Intimacy and partnership. Genesis chapter 1. We are given the dominions of the earth. We are supposed to partner with God. Genesis chapter 3. Men walk with God in the cool of the garden. That's the uniqueness of mankind. We are designed with that unique capacity to commune with God in the deep way. No other creatures has. We are designed. I have no time to turn to it. Just write this now. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16. And 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19. Talk about we are the temple of God. You know what that means? That means this flame, Paul called it that broken vessel or vessel of clay, okay, are created to house the very presence and the glory of God. Wow, what uniqueness. The glory of God dwells within me. He seeks for the intimacy. You must read this book by A.W. Tozer, Dwelling Place of God. Powerful book. Let me read a quote by him, okay, which explains about the gospel story. The gospel story is more than just saving us from hell's fire. When Adam and Eve sin, the loss is more than just that they didn't kick out of the garden. No, you say, yeah, just kick out the garden, then go somewhere else. No, they lost that very presence of God, that intimacy with God. Because God's supposed to dwell within us, and that inner, what's the word called, sanctum, no longer can host the holy presence of God. That is the most tragic loss. Where God, I mean, it's unbelievable. God wants to be so close with man. Can you think about it? Can you imagine? Unbelievable. He lived with us. That's why he gave an illustration of our relationship, husband and wife. The closest relationship, husband and wife. One. God wants to be one. I mean, man, you know, I don't want to live inside you. I don't know what is inside you. I don't think you want to live inside me too. But God wants to live in me. Unbelievable. Okay, A.W. Tozer said this. From man's standpoint, the most tragic loss suffered in the fall was the vacating of this inner sanctum by the Spirit of God. At the far in hidden center of human's being is a bush fitted to be the... I don't know why I use the word bush. Okay, I'll use the word temple. But I'm not A.W. Tozer. Okay. It's the bush that is fitted to be the dwelling place of God, planned to rest and grow with moral and spiritual fire. Man by sin forfeited this indescribable, wonderful privilege and must now dwell there alone. Yeah, that's why it's called Lords. For so intimately private, which is true, only we can open the door for Jesus. That's why Revelation 3 verse 20 says, I knock at the door. Jesus can open every door except one door, the door of our heart. For so intimately private is the place that no one can intrude, not even Satan. No one can intrude but Christ and Christ alone unless he's invited. Wow, that's the privilege. That is the gospel story where God wants deep intimacy and partnership. Okay, four primary relationships with God. I'm going quick. Four. There are, of course, many, but these are four primary. First one, God as our creator and king. We must relate in that. There are four. These are four primary. God as our creator and king, where he rules over nation and he demands total allegiance. What is our response? We fear him. That's Psalms 2, verse 11. Fear the Lord. Serve him with trembling. We must see God as the creator, almighty God, and his king with no rival. Second, he's our savior who redeemed and deliver us from sin and Satan. This is important. We need to always know and relate with him as a savior, because that produces loving gratitudes and offer our lives as living sacrifice. You know why we offer less? Because we don't really encounter what Paul says. You are totally purchased. But when you understand that, you will live like what Paul said in Romans 12:1. What did he say? Therefore, in views of God's mercy, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. Because you are purchased. Because he redeemed you, he saved you. We have no right. But God's still kind of like kind. Let's choose. That's the key thing. That's why we don't understand. We don't understand. Third one, God is our loving Father. It's vital. It's vital. I'm waiting for someone to lead the song. You know, what's the song? I'm no longer a slave to fear, but I'm a child of God. But then come out the line, God is my Father. No, it's a huge difference between you sing, I am his son, and God is my Father. Wow. Wow. God is my Father. Have you thought about it? Sounds cocky, but it's true. That gives you confidence. That gives you that sense of self-esteem and worth, isn't it? Even if I do nothing, produce nothing. No, you won't. If you feel so motivated, you're going to work very hard. But what I'm saying is this, God is my Father. Wow. You know, kind of like think of the Star Wars, the Hokkien version. Don't try it. Yeah. God is my Father. Wow. We have to relate with him as the Father. You know, Romans 8, verse 14 to 17. Last one. God is our bridegroom. To me, that is the deepest. Go beyond servant, friend, children, one. We are one with him. Bridegroom. Wow. Wow, that's mainly Jesus' prayer in John 17, verse 20 to 23. He desires oneness and his desire glory to be revealed. That's his heart, the burning desire. Okay, let me go to the third desire before I go to the second desire. Verse 26. I have declared to you, I declare to them your love, your name, and will declare that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. Wow, what a privilege. Privilege of loving God like God. Wow. Wow, God make that greatest power and anointing available to us that we can love God like God. We never thought about that. Wow. Wow. It's always about love. God, Jesus is looking for people to love him with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And that itself is the first commandment. It's like, this is like, you know, last verse, last prayer. The heart cry and the prayer that climax is desire. I want love. Not just passive. Let me talk about demanding, man. Talk about demanding, you know. Just love me, lah. A little bit can. No. I want you to love me the same as the Father loves me. The same measure. The same intensity. One is unachievable. Two is unbelievable. Three is what a privilege. Because I'm given that anointing. Am I invited into that honor of loving God like God? Wow. Oh, so are we complaining, you know, our first commandment very demand? No. You must know that Jesus doesn't lack love. He doesn't. But he's looking for love, because it's important. It's very important. It's it has to be the ultimate pursuit of every believer. It has to be the ultimate goal of every discipleship. I call it the first priority of the Father, because we always say the mission statement of God the Father is Revelation 19, verse 7. Raised up a wholehearted bride. But the first emphasis of the Holy Spirit is to prepare and empower the bride. But this has to be our first pursuit. You know, it's vital. No, that's why, you know, I want to go beyond obedience. I want to go beyond faithfulness. You know, sometimes I don't feel very happy. You know, every time, no, I love him. No, do ain't come. No, I come into this house. I feel faithfulness. You know, yeah, I say, love, I'm great faithfulness. But no, I don't want just to be faithful. I want people to tell me, I come to this house, I feel that you all love Jesus deeply. Oh, then I say, thank you very much. Take over now. I'm retiring. You know why? I mean, I think it's great if my wife is here. That's why I made me say it. Yeah. Yeah, it's great if my wife is faithful to me. Yeah, please. Okay, no, I'm kidding. Okay. I'm sorry. No, that's okay. Yeah, but that, I want her to be more than faithful to me. I want her to love me, have affection. Right or not? It's the same. Jesus wants more than just faithfulness and obedience. Jesus wants our affection. Love. That's why, I love him. I just smile. No, I'm waiting. I want people to say, oh, yeah. That's why I was so excited, you know, last year. Was it last year or earlier this year? Someone say, oh, I love coming to this house. When I come to this house, it just feels like loving Jesus. I say, oh, that's great. That's good. We made it. We succeed. You know, because that's the goal. No, I want to be faithful. I will be faithful by God's grace. Don't talk so loud. No, after I quit tomorrow. I want to be faithful. And I say yes to faithfulness and obedience. But I want to go beyond faithfulness. I want to love God. Because that is higher. That go much further. That go much further. You know, that's why the apostles call themselves bond servant. Bond servant is not someone who's grouch. Just write this down. Exodus 21, verse 5 and 6. Bond servant basically historically is that those servant or slave, they so love their master. Because if you understand the Jewish culture, after certain years of service, they have the right to leave. But they love the master so much, they say, no, I'm not going to leave. I serve you because I love you. That's in the context of why the disciples say, I'm the bond servant. Not because it's like bonded, no, like scholars. No, the smart one, like, are you bonded, Annabelle? No, never. Okay, yeah. Are you bonded, William? I know Li Feng is bonded. Yeah, so smart one. No, not those. Yeah, I'm bonded, so I have to serve 3 years gougingly before I can go to the private sector and make big money. You know, no, they choose to be bonded. They call themselves bond servant because they are setting apart because of love. What Paul say, what's the verse? I think it's 2 Corinthians 5:14. Paul say, I'm compelled by love. I'm compelled by love. Church history, there's this word, so we can safely use it. If not, blame this guy, Francis de Sales. I don't know how you pronounce it. It's a French, like, S-A-L-E-S. So it shouldn't be sales. Because I was talking to my wife. Last Saturday, we went to eat at my place gathering for, what's the dessert called? Huh? Moray. You read the English word. How did I pronounce it? I don't know how. Yeah, so French. Okay, why am I talking about this? Doesn't matter. So Francis the, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's called sales like English, but it's a French, so I presume pronounced differently. He called this divinely wounded by the love of God that compel us to be the bonds. Wow, I want to be wounded. And so this afternoon, I just pray, God, wound me. You know, thank God, no one in this room is saying, you're mad. This guy, wound me. I want to be divinely wounded so that I become helpless. But I say, I will serve you. I will love you. I serve out of love. That's it. Last one. In 5 minutes. Verse 24. That's the second desire. Second desire. That we will behold His glory. It's the desire of Jesus' heart. That we will behold His glory. He said this, verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom You give Me may be with Me where I am. Why? The second desire. That they may behold My glory. That they may behold My glory. Because beholding is the primary way to produce the type and the goal of the relationship that Jesus is looking for. We pursue less of Jesus. You know why? Because we see less of Jesus. We have a low view of Jesus. Is He worthy? If we will see what the angels saw in Revelation 5, then we all say, what's the problem? We give less. It's because we see less. Why Paul can consider all things rubbish? He saw something. We will only live like Paul if we see what Paul saw. So it's no longer paying the price, but we are pursuing the ultimate prize, P-R-I-Z-E. No longer heavy cost, C-O-S-T, but the highest cost, C-O-U-S-E. That's what it is about. You know? No time to read John Piper's statement. Beholding. Just write this down. I'm going to just quickly finish. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Beholding, becoming principal. The affection of, write this down. Okay, just write this down. No time. So just write this down. The affection of our heart follow the locked gates of our eyes. That is the biblical principle. The affection of our heart follow the locked gates of our eyes. What you see will be what you become. If we behold Christ, we will be like Christ. 1 John 3, verse 2. If we behold His love, we will love Him the way He loved. 1 John 4, 19. That's why beholding is so important. Now, I'm excited about, you know, sharing about this glory of Jesus for the next 3-4 Fridays. But even this one, I'm totally overwhelmed. The glory of His burning heart. Oh, man. No. I mean, I can picture, you know, unbelievable. I'm standing there, Jesus praying. Me? You desire me? Wow, man. I'm ruined. I'm undone. Okay. The affection of the heart follow the locked gaze of the eye. is true. Right, next one. Whatever you gaze, whatever your gaze is focused upon, that is what you become. No, that's a biblical principle in Matthew 6, verse 22. Tell me the Matthew 6, verse 22. That's why your gaze is very important. Our eye is the window of our soul. What we see will become who we are. If we set our eyes on Jesus, it will awaken the passionate love for Him. If we set our eyes on pornography, it will awaken lust. Our eyes, vital. That's why Jesus, in His brilliance, He wants us to behold His glory. It's our inheritance. Matthew, tell me the Matthew 6, verse 22 to 23. Matthew 6, verse 22 to 23. The lamb of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, the eye is good means where you set your gaze. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. No, he's not talking about whether you need to wear spectacles or not, or you get old, you need progressive glasses and so on. No, it's talking about where you set your gaze. Where you set your gaze. The affection of the heart follow the affection of our heart follow the locked gaze of our eyes. It's correlated. Behold the glory of Jesus. It's all in the Bible. It's worth doing it. So this is the glory of the burning hearts of Jesus. Wow. Wow, that makes me feel great, isn't it? Even though when I stand before that Grand Canyon of the revelation of the holy glory of Jesus, I feel so small, but that healed my soul and that satisfied and fulfilled my heart. That makes me feel great. That's kind of contradictory, isn't it? You feel small, then you feel great. Amen? Let me just say a prayer.